You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Heidi Dereau's debut novel, The Girl Who Fell from the Sky, begins with a young girl and her grandmother boarding a bus after leaving the hospital. Rachel Morse, the brown-skinned, blue-eyed daughter of an African-American GI father and a Danish mother, has come to live in Portland with her paternal grandmother after a terrible family tragedy that only Rachel has survived. The book, which has been compared to Jamaica Kincaid's Annie John and Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, won the Bellwether Prize that Barbara Kingsolver founded for Best Fiction Manuscript Addressing Issues of Social Justice. It's published by Algonquin Books, and I'm very pleased that it brings Heidi Dereau to our show today. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Before the Bellwether Prize, hadn't you also won the Lauren Hemingway Short Story Competition and the Chapter 1 Fiction Contest? Is entering competitions a good way to establish oneself as a writer nowadays?
Absolutely. And mostly for me, I entered those contests because I'm a little lazy. It was hard for me to actually write the book because I didn't know what I was doing. And then I would just write to contest deadlines and send in my work. And then I knew I had something done.
And were you working on versions of this book when you were sending those things into contests?
I was. I was sending in little bits and pieces of the book as story pieces.
Well, the readers often assume that novels are at least somewhat autobiographical. And in this case, Rachel Morse is the daughter of a mixed-race couple, and you are. She looks a lot like you. So how much should I assume this is semi-autobiographical?
Well, it is in part, absolutely. Rachel Morse, like me, is half black and half Danish, and she has blue eyes, and I have blue eyes. But the story of the story isn't autobiographical. That is, the tragedy that happens was actually inspired by a real story that I read in the newspaper about 15 years ago. And I was so haunted by the miracle of that accident, the girl who survived, I wanted to know what would her future look like. I wanted to give her a future and a voice, and so that part is not me.
But not just her voice. You tell this from a number of different perspectives. Did you? Because she's only 11 years old at the start. Was it important to give us other voices to tell us what she can't see?
Yes. She is unreliable, and she doesn't really know everything that she should know and doesn't want to know many things that she does know. And so I found these other characters to tell the story in different ways for her.
You mentioned that she doesn't always want to know. That's because her parents try to shield her and her siblings from questions of race.
They don't talk about it at all.
Is that a bad idea?
I think it is. I mean, in my own upbringing, my parents didn't talk about race at all. And when I was 11, we moved to Portland, Oregon, and we were living in a black community suddenly. I always considered myself American. And then suddenly, American wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough. I was a race.
But you were living in Chicago, or at least Rachel was living in Chicago.
Yes.
And Chicago is a city where race has been a major issue. But can you escape that in Chicago and not escape it in Portland? Or is it a matter of which neighborhood you're living in?
Well, the book is set in Chicago in part because she ends up in Chicago for just a summer. She's there for only a couple of months and is shielded from the outside world by her mother. She is not allowed to go outside and play because her mother doesn't understand this new big city. But Rachel, like myself, grew up overseas and didn't know all of these things about race that people know.
Although race is not, it can be an issue in Europe as well. But it's different if the race is American related and if it's from one of the former colonies.
I think that's right. I mean, because my father was in the Air Force, we also had a different kind of Americanness. We were military people. And then when we came to the States finally, when I was age 11, we were civilians. And then that's a whole different story, too. There was kind of a classlessness in our military experience that we didn't have suddenly in America.
So here you are in Portland, and you have to suddenly decide how you want to self-identify. You also have to, you're facing all sorts of issues about class.
Yeah, we lived in a black neighborhood. My parents separated, and my mom was raising three kids on her own for the first time. She'd never held a job in her life. And so that was also part of it. I think people thought it was very exotic that I ended up in Portland and I'd lived in all these places, but they couldn't understand why I was poor also. It didn't compute all these things.
The Bellwether Prize is for works that address issues of social justice. You've attended law schools as well. Did you write this novel as social commentary?
I wanted to explore this story because I don't think we talk about it often enough, about multiracial families and biracial identity. We had this great moment during President Obama's candidacy when we got to talk about biracial and the fact that his grandmother was white and his mother was white. And then on the inauguration day, he became our first black African-American president. And we lost that opportunity to talk about biracial identity, I think.
Often when someone is biracial, the decision of the rest of the world is that they're black.
Yes, that
so
was
Tiger Woods, who saw himself very much as also being Asian, we don't want to talk about his other problems, but anyway, he was automatically black. And
yeah.
Barack Obama, he's automatically black.
And I think that's fine. I do believe in self-identification, so that when people who are mixed race decide to be one or the other, I'm absolutely for that. I just feel like we lose stories when we don't tell our whole selves.
So what happens when someone like Rachel goes to school and is in classes where pretty much all of her classmates are black?
They don't understand her in the book. And it's the same thing for me. They just didn't understand where I fit at all. I remember being at home, speaking Danish with my mother, having Danish foods, and then as soon as we opened the door and went outside, I was a black girl, and it erased that whole story, that whole existence that was me.
And does that make it harder to make white friends?
When you're a kid, I think it was hard. I mean, it was hard for me. It's hard for Rachel, definitely in the book, too. She doesn't fit anywhere. She's not black enough, but she's not white. And kids are not friendly to foreigners, generally.
On top of it all, she's a very good student.
Yeah, she's a good student. She gets straight A's. She writes her name in the top right-hand corner and the date all the time. That's one thing that she understands. She knows how to be a good student. There are certain rules that you go about, and you do this and you do that, and then you get to the next thing.
I'm talking to Heidi W. Durow, who has written a prize-winning novel called The Girl Who Fell from the Sky, which is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Interesting that it's published by a publisher in the South, in an area that where race, both white and black, has been an issue over the years.
Isn't that funny? I actually, my parents were supposed to be stationed in South Carolina when they met, and they were going to marry in South Carolina, but it was still illegal to marry then in 1965.
When I ask how did Rachel's parents meet, am I asking how did your parents meet, or should
yes.
I ask these questions?
I know I pretend that she's something very apart from me, but she's very much a part of me. We've mixed ourselves together. Rachel's parents and my parents both meet in Germany. My true story is that my mother was a nanny for an American family, and my father was in the military there, and they met at a party in Germany.
Well, you had to imagine their meeting. Obviously, you weren't around. You write, when Roger first met Nella, the joint was getting so hot that the windows dripped with dew. Isaac Hayes blared from the 4-foot Pioneer speakers, and the dance floor was full. Roger liked white girls.
Yes, but not American white girls. He likes the European girls because he feels like there's a lot less baggage in talking with them, and that he's special. He's not black, really. He's special.
They have three kids.
Yes.
In real life, your mother wound up with the three kids. What happens in the book?
In the book, in the end?
I can't tell you that.
The end
is very controversial, so we don't want to reveal it. But what about that? Why do you think people have seen it as controversial?
Well,
without giving it away.
I don't know that I can answer that so well. I think Well, one, I think people want more of the story. They want answers. And the thing about the book is that even though it's won this prize for literature of social change, it's not a position paper. It's an issue novel, but it's a story. And so what I hope to offer people are questions as opposed to answers.
At one point, Rachel says that people shouldn't hold on to things that give you edges.
Yeah.
What does she mean by that?
Well, all those things that you have inside of you that keep you from actually embracing the full world.
She talked about her Aunt Loretta and her angers.
Yes, all of her angers and her difficulties and her marriage that didn't work out ultimately.
In addition to writing, you also run a blog with Fashion Cox called Mixed Girls Chat.
Mixed Chicks Chat.
Mixed Chicks, okay.
Yeah, and it's a weekly podcast we do every Wednesday, and we talk about being racially and culturally mixed. So we interview people who are in blended families, parents. We had a Harvard scholar on, which was exciting.
Well, I would assume, from what I know, that something like at least 90% of all African Americans, maybe 100%, are of mixed race.
I think probably we're all mixed in some way, and that's what I'm so excited about with this book, because I've been doing some readings around, and I find that people are sharing the fact that their families are blended suddenly.
So this is something that would not have been discussed in the past? People would have been forced to just make a choice and say, I'm white, I'm black?
Yeah. I mean, remember the controversy with Michelle Obama's, I think, great-great-grandfather, and they discovered that he was biracial. And there was a little bit of controversy about that, I think, because people wanted to say, this is our first African-American first lady, and wanted to really hold on to that, as opposed to actually sharing that real true story of this man in her past who was biracial as well.
So the book has won prizes, gotten wonderful reviews, and now what happens?
Well, now I'm on tour, which is really exciting, meeting people and talking about the book, and I'm working on the new project.
And are you going to write a novel that is less autobiographical?
Well, it's set in the 1800s, so I think it is less autobiographical.
Well, you could still write an autobiographical novel set in another time.
Oh, don't tell people that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Heidi W. Durrow, D-U-R-R-O-W. Her novel, The Girl Who Fell from the Sky, and I think that title has kind of become clear through the course of our conversation. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, and I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. ¶¶